Welcome to Seeking Alpha's Wall Street Breakfast, your daily source of market news and analysis. Subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher.
Good morning. Today is Wednesday, June 9th, and I'm your host, Steve Brown. Our top stories today: countering China, meme mania, and internet outage. Leading today's news, it could be one of the last major bipartisan bills of 2021, but the Senate got it over the line. Late Tuesday, the chamber approved the U.S. Innovation and Competition Act, a $250 package aimed at challenging China's technological ambitions. While the bill passed 68-32 in the Senate, it still needs approval in the House, which has been weighing some different approaches but is likely to see wide support. The measure is one of the biggest government interventions in industrial policy in decades, which trounced traditional party differences over economic policy. What's in the bill? About $190 billion would be directed at U.S. technology and research to better compete globally, including money for cutting-edge science and artificial intelligence via the National Science Foundation. Another $54 billion would increase U.S. production and research into semiconductors and telecom equipment, as well as design and manufacturing initiatives. The Commerce Department will also get $10 billion in funding to designate regional technology hubs for R&D, and will be able to match financial incentives offered by states and local governments to chip makers who expand or construct new factories. According to some estimates, federal R&D spending in recent years has totaled less than 1% of U.S. GDP, as well as less than 3% of total government spending, the lowest level since the space race in the 1960s. With regards to semiconductor manufacturing, it's been even worse. The Semiconductor Industry Association says the U.S. share of global chip-making capacity has tumbled from 37% in 1990 to 12% at the present. We are in a competition to win the 21st century, and the starting gun has gone off. We cannot risk falling behind, President Biden declared. While Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo said the funding could result in 7 to 10 new U.S. semiconductor plants. Response from China. While Beijing has long embraced a top-down approach to investing in favored sectors, it expressed strong indignation and resolute opposition to the U.S. bill, which showed paranoid delusion of wanting to be the only winner. The measure also banned downloads of Chinese-owned TikTok on all government devices, not only military and homeland security phones, and will block purchase of drones manufactured and sold by companies backed by the Chinese government. It further expanded mandatory sanctions on Chinese entities engaged in American cyber attacks or the theft of intellectual property, while reviewing export controls on items that could be used to support human rights abuses. In other news, major averages closed near the flat line on Tuesday as stocks remained range-bound near record highs. Not much changed overnight, with the Dow and S&P 500 futures holding steady, and contracts linked to the NASDAQ inching up 0.1%. As mentioned yesterday, some traders are staying on the sidelines before the latest inflation figures on Thursday to gauge whether higher price pressures are temporary as the economy rebounds from the coronavirus pandemic. Others have plunged headfirst into the wild world of meme trading. Clover Health has become the latest target of the WSB Reddit army, whose sentiment is rapidly expanding to those looking for some outsized gains. The stock skyrocketed 96% to $22 on Tuesday, and is up another 18% in pre-market trade. Those looking for some quick cash also jumped into Wendy's, which rose another 5% overnight following yesterday's 25% advance. The latter move was notable as Wendy's has relatively low short interest, no squeezes, and is an institutional favorite compared to AMC, BlackBerry, and GameStop. Quote, "It's different than 1999. It's different in 2008. The number of players today and the amount of capital today is massive compared to what we saw back when it was mostly professionals," said online brokerage pioneer and options legend Tom Sosnoff. "What you're seeing is an entire generation become engaged. So instead of waiting until they're 50 or 60 and trying to figure out what the markets are all about, they're doing it when they're 22 or 23. This is a generational move." Other happenings. President Biden is looking for a new coalition for his infrastructure bill as talks with key Republican senators collapsed. He'll also depart today on his first trip abroad since taking office. the 8-day mission will seek to strengthen transatlantic ties, including a G7 summit and a NATO gathering, as well as visits with Queen Elizabeth and Russia's Vladimir Putin. Thousands of websites, including Seeking Alpha, went dark for nearly an hour on Tuesday morning, beginning at around 6 a.m. Eastern Time. The issue stemmed from a configuration problem at Fastly, a content delivery network operator that speeds uploading or streaming times for web pages. Content is basically stored across a large number of servers that are located closer to end users, cutting the time it takes for the data to reach them via cloud networks. What happened? On May 12th, we began a software deployment that introduced a bug that could be triggered by a specific customer configuration under specific circumstances, Fastly said in a statement. Early June 8th, a customer pushed a valid configuration change that included the specific circumstances that triggered the bug, which caused 85% of our network to return errors. We detected the disruption within 1 minute, then identified and isolated the cause and disabled the configuration. Within 49 minutes, 95% of our network was operating as normal. Investors were impressed with Fastly's turnaround time to address the problem, sending shares of the company up 11% to $56 on Tuesday, following earlier losses after the outage. We have been, and will continue to, innovate and invest in fundamental changes to the safety of our underlying platforms, added Nick Rockwell, Senior Vice President of Engineering and Infrastructure. Fastly went public back in 2019, and while the company is still loss-making, revenue has increased at a rapid pace, climbing to $291 million in 2020. Outlook. Numerous companies play a pivotal role across the worldwide internet infrastructure landscape. There are many layers to the plumbing, ranging from switching, which sends and receives packets of information from destinations all over the world, to software controls at the top of the system. Any one failure in the network can affect millions of people, which has become an area of increasing concern following the recent cyber attacks seen at JBS and the Colonial Pipeline. Cue the latest fintech to hit the public markets. Marqeta, the technology platform for card issuers, is slated to begin trading this morning on the NASDAQ under the ticker symbol MQ. Two other payments-related companies, Flywire and Paymentus, soared in their IPOs last week, while some other fintech listings are coming up like commission-free brokerage Robinhood. What does Marqeta do? Most of its business comes from interchange fees, the cost a merchant pays whenever a customer uses a card to make a purchase, as well as offering APIs that let companies build out virtual and physical card programs. Marqeta mostly targets high-growth tech companies as its clients, like Square, Affirm, Uber, and DoorDash. That differentiates it from established players like Global Payments and Fiserv, which cater to banks and traditional credit card companies, as well as emerging providers like Stripe and Aiden. By the numbers, Marqeta priced shares at $27 late Tuesday, well above its original $20 to $24 range. With the 45.5 million Class A shares, that would raise $1.2 billion and value the company at more than $14 billion. A boost in processing volume saw Marqeta bring in $293 million in revenue during 2020, more than double its 2019 numbers, though the firm is still not profitable. Net losses have narrowed in recent years, but the company still lost $47.7 million in 2020, compared to $58.2 million in 2019. Go deeper. Marqeta has gained remarkably from the accelerated shift to the digital economy brought on the coronavirus pandemic, with processing volumes reaching $60 billion in 2020, up from $21.7 billion in the prior year. The platform even processed $24 billion last quarter, though much of that business has come from Square, which made up 73% of its net revenue. While Marqeta's agreements with Square's card and Cash App last until 2024, terms of the future relationship could change, and it could signal a need to diversify. Morningstar analyst Brett Horn sees risk in the customer concentration, but also anticipates opportunities like the secular trend toward electronic payments, which would act as a tailwind to card payment volumes. As of 6:20 a.m. today, the NASDAQ, crude oil, and Bitcoin are all set to open in the green, with the Dow and S&P 500 flat and gold slightly down. On today's economic calendar, wholesale inventories are out at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please be sure to rate and review it below. Your feedback is deeply appreciated.
That concludes today's Wall Street Breakfast. Thank you for listening. For the best investment analysis and news on the web, go to SeekingAlpha.com. Subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can sign up for our other podcasts, Behind the Idea, Essay for FAs, Let's Talk ETFs, the Cannabis Investing Podcast, and Marketplace Roundtable on those platforms as well. Have a great day.